Hello. Oh, hello. Hi, everybody. Thank you all for coming out. My name is Galen Joseph Hunter, and I'm really grateful that you all made it out to help celebrate this enigmatic publication that we've produced here, helping to define the transmission art genre. So we're also broadcasting live on WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra. And our listeners on the FM dial, on the web, and in this space, we were just listening to a recording from a live We were just listening to a recording from by the artist Scanner from 2006. It was a live performance at the property Wave Farm on the other side of the river, which will be home to WGXC's Caro Studio. So what we have in store for you is a pretty short evening of celebration. I'm going to turn the mic over to Bonnie Marenka, who is the president of Free 103.9's board. Free 103.9 co-produced this book with Bonnie and her extraordinary publishing house, PAJ Publications. And then I'm going to do a little bit of reading from the introduction, and we have three brief performances for you. I also just quickly want to thank Susan Quasha, who designed the book masterfully, and to thank the Spotty Dog and Jess here for hosting us. And yay! To thank our four-year-old Echo for providing some entertainment. All right, so I'll turn things over to Bonnie, who will tell us a little bit about PAJ Publications and this project, and then we'll take it from there. Thanks so much.
Hi. Thanks, Galen. thank you so much, everybody. I'm really pleased to be here and also to be the co-publisher or the publisher of PAJ Publications' newest title. It's probably our 145th title. I'm really pleased to be able to bring out this book because it brings PAJ, which has been a theater book publisher and publisher of cutting edge work for 36 years, along with the journal we publish, PAJ, a Journal of Performance and Art. And we've always been involved with the downtown work and experimental work in theater, dance, music, video installations, and so on, and texts. And so this is an addition to our repertoire of work in that it really signals the opening of, dialogue and kind of genealogy and history of an art form that people aren't always so familiar with, transmission arts. It's helping to define that art form. And more than a decade now, museums and performance spaces have really moved into recognizing sound and sound works in galleries and in exhibitions and everything, and there's increasing though small amount of books in the field of sound coming out. So I'm really pleased to have this as part of our Art Plus Performance series, which is a series for new media and performance, and includes other titles of books on people like Meredith Monk and Bruce Nauman, Yvonne Rainer, Gary Hill, many well-known names. So it signals an expansion of that series as well for us. I won't talk too much about the book because Galen will give you a good overview of what she means by transmission arts. We worked together quite a long time on the book. It's a compendium of 150 artists and working in this field over the whole century. And transmission arts is also, the work is also part of the, much of it, it appears in the Transmission Arts Sound Archive, which you can also hear quite a lot during the week and all day Saturdays and overnight, through the night, on WGXC. So we're really pleased about the book, and I'm really happy to have it as part of the PAJ list, along with all the other books we have of so many writers and artists and everything. And we hope that it gets into the university curriculum, and that that sound becomes also a subject in music programs and also in performance programs, so that it can take its rightful place and its legacy in contemporary, modern and contemporary performance. So thank you again for coming, and let me bring Galen back to talk about her own book.
All right, so two pages for you. An investment in public access to the transmission spectrum is intrinsic to the engagement of airwaves for artistic purpose. Transmission art often emerges from an interest in spectrum regulation and a critique of the limited public access that exists for experimentation with electronic communication. Not surprisingly, then, transmission artists have deep roots in media activism and share concerns regarding corporate control of the airwaves. This is going to help demystify, I think, too, the parent organization of WGXE for people and what our history is and why the radio station is such an important thing. In the mid-1990s, media activists converged in the U.S. in response to the Telecommunication Act of 1996. Seen as an irresponsible leap in the wrong direction, this deregulation lifted the cap on the number of radio stations that could be owned in a single market, paving the way for a staggering level of corporate consolidation. The originator of transmission arts, Artisan Airwaves, Free 103.9, was established in 1997 as a micro radio collective in Brooklyn, New York. The founders of Free 103.9 were among thousands of participants in what became known as a micro-radio movement across the U.S. Micro-radio refers to low or micro-power radio transmission, which is unlicensed. The term became widely used in the mid-1990s when media activists performed acts of civil disobedience by broadcasting without a license to demonstrate the importance of making low-power FM radio available to communities as an alternative to corporate monopoly of it, the airwaves. Change my here. So influenced by these efforts, in January 2000, the U.S. Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, created a low-power FM radio service, commonly referred to as LPFM. These low-power licenses were made available to non-commercial entities to create community stations in mostly rural areas. Concurrent with the success of LPFM, Free 103.9 witnessed members of its community of micro-radio broadcasters shift their practice from micro-radio broadcast to conceptually rigorous transmission-based projects utilizing the radio spectrum as an artistic medium. In 2002, Free 103.9 transitioned into a nonprofit organization focused on cultivating and defining a new genre, transmission arts. Grounded in an art historical context that celebrates the avant-garde, a genealogy of contemporary transmission-based projects include Futurism, Hörspiel, and Radio Theater, post-war electronic music and composition, Fluxus and Happenings, early video collective projects, and telecommunications art. The works cited in this volume are both historical projects conceived within this lineage, as well as contemporary works informed by these important movements in art history. In the early decades of the 20th century, works created under the umbrella of futurism celebrated noise, speed, and experimentation. Improvisation with and about machinery and technology were commonly explored. Rousselot's Futurist Manifesto, The Art of Noise, from 1913, classified noise sound into six discrete groupings, including thunderings, whistlings, murmurs, rustling, percussion with common objects, and vocal noise produced by people and animals. Eight years later, Klebnikov's manifesto, The Radio of the Future, prophesied an evolution of the medium, where text, image, sense, and even flavors could be communicated through broadcast. In what is perhaps the first conception of transmission art, Klebnikov also envisioned a future where radio would emit ethereal art exhibitions. Similarly interested in the synesthetic possibilities of radio, the first Hörspiel was broadcast in Germany in 1924. Translated literally as radio play, Hörspiel uses sound effects, music, and dialogue to embolden the imagination of its listeners. in both an ironic and self-reflective exercise, Han Fleisch's Radio Magic describes a radio station's struggle to present a program on air through a compendium of dialogue, noise, and experimental music. I think we reenact Radio Magic almost every day on WGXE. In 1935, the German electronics company AEG unveiled the first audio tape recorder at the Berlin Radio Show, an international radio exhibition occurring regularly since 1926. The device would make a considerable impact on electronic music, placing new tools in the hands of musicians, composers, and engineers. After World War II, artists began using the tape recorder to produce works that employed a new method of composition called musique concrète. Pierre Schaeffer, the French musician and theorist, popularized this technique in 1948 with his Five Studies of Noises, a series composed solely for tape. In the years following, works by Karlheinz Stockhausen, John Cage, among others, pioneered the use of real-time media, including radio, as a viable instrument for composition and performance. Cage's work in particular, which privileged chance operation and non-musical instrumentation in conceptually driven composition over musical aptitude, serves as a primary influence on the contemporary artwork cited in this book. Cage's experimental composition classes at the New School for Social Research in New York City from 1957 to 1959 served as a fertile ground for the convergence of early practitioners of the avant-garde, including Jackson McLaugh, George Brecht, Dick Higgins, and Alan Kaprow. Lithuanian-born artist George Mačiūnas, who was also at the New School, became a propelling force of Fluxus as a movement rejecting intellectualism and artificial art in order to promote living art, anti-art, and to elevate the ordinary. In a resounding illustration of these priorities, transmission works often embrace live, ordinary media in order to reveal a present moment in time without being beholden to a specific location or instance. In an explicit act of social engagement occurring with the anti-war movement in the U.S. in the late 1960s and early 1970s, artists gained access to portable video equipment. Often working as collectives, video artists saw a radical opportunity in transmission media as a tool that might long last realize democratic, cultural, and global communication networks. Collectives like TVTV and the Video Freaks produced subversive works that challenged corporate media and exposed a corrupt political system. In the 1980s, global communication experiments connected a broad network of international video artists. Satellite and other telecommunication technologies promised new possibilities of live and remote collaboration. In recent years, the ubiquity of wireless devices tied to the internet have once again inspired artists interested in communication networks. In a consistent thread, independent and community media is revered as a means to combat a dystopian political, social, and creative climate. Communications technology and activism, working together to ensure public and artistic access to the transmission spectrum, provide the foundation from which the transmission art genre emerges. Thank you. Thanks, guys. Very generous.